Deuteronomy 12, 29 to 31.
Okay.
Praise God. Says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, which means to displace them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee. And that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, Lord. Father, whether it's old covenant or new covenant, Lord, your word is like a fire. Your word is like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces, Father. Let every rock that might be in our hearts be broken to pieces by your word, Lord God. Let every wood, hay, and stubble be burnt by the fire of your word, Lord God, that we might walk in newness of life each and every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Context. Context is everything, isn't it? God was leading the Israelites into the promised land. What the promised land is a figure, an old covenant figure of a new covenant reality, which is the kingdom of God. And ultimately, heaven, where I trust Elizabeth is this very day. Do you know that she's a lot better off than you and me? She's fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ as we speak. We sense, you know, the Spirit. We get words of from the gifts of the Spirit. But she's with him in heaven. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. She's so much better off. You know, we have our own, don't we? Praise God. And Moses was warning them against adopting their pagan customs. When they went into that promised land, the Canaanites were among the worst of the worst in terms of their pagan customs. You can look in America, just about any place today, and see that it's just as bad as it was in Canaan. Just as bad. Moses was warning them against adopting their pagan customs, and specifically their forms of worship. What am I hearing? Praise God. Speaking for the Lord, he was cautioning them against falling prey to the abominations of the heathen and what they were about. He was telling them in no uncertain terms that if they decided to go the way of those whom they were displacing, they would suffer the same fate that they were about to suffer. God hates idolatry.
Amen.
For he is the only true God. There is no other. I'm going to quote Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. The Lord speaking through Isaiah, remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me.
Thank you, Jesus.
declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. His counsel is going to stand, isn't it? Amen. Exactly what he says is going to come to pass. Amen. There's no stopping it. And there's no wall of resistance that can come against it. What I said is going to come to pass. And that's it. Praise be to God. And aren't you glad? Because we know what's going to come to pass. We know who wins in the end. Amen. It's us. Praise be to God. Who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When God commanded the Israelites to possess Canaan under Joshua, he left nothing to chance. He said, go in and take possession. He said, don't partake of anything they have to offer. He said, remain separate,
yes,
holy unto me. Praise be to God. Destroy all that is ungodly and spare nothing and no one. You know, he says the same thing to us. Don't spare anything that is not of me. Don't allow it to exist in your life.
Amen.
Destroy it. How do you destroy it? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. Amen. Amen. I plead the precious blood of Jesus. I rebuke the devourer in that area in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I trust that it's destroyed. Our own invasion is of another land, isn't it? It's the kingdom of God and you and me in that land. This is my land.
Yes.
What is in my head, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm glad you don't know what's in there. Because there's some bad stuff in there, you know. Because I still have flesh. What's in here, that's part of my land. My body is part of my land. My soul, everything that I am, is my land. And it's up to me what I do with that land. It's up to each of us every single day of our lives. This is my land. What am I going to do with it today? Am I going to bless somebody? Or am I going to tear somebody down? Or am I going to be neutral and not do anything with this land that you have given me, Lord? It's our soul, our mind, our body, our makeup, and God tells us the same thing today that he did with those in Deuteronomy. Matthew 11:12. Jesus speaking. And he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Ever get violent about the kingdom of God and say, Lord, I just want so much more. I want more of you. I want more of your kingdom.
Amen.
I want more of the Spirit. I want more. Make it suffer violence. Jesus said it. It's okay. The violent take it by force. Lord, I want more and more and more of you and everything that you're about. Luke 16:16. Let me just read it. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. You know that word press is a powerful word. It means to overpower and compel. It means to press in with energy. Lord, I want more of your kingdom. I want to draw more out of it. And with the same thing as in the old covenant, there can't be any mixture. If we really want that, if we want more of what God has to offer in his kingdom, there can't be any mixture.
That's
right. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Paul continues, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise be to God. Separation. When they went into Canaan, have nothing to do with these people and their customs and their ways. When you come into the kingdom of God, have nothing to do with worldliness. It's hard, isn't it, to not be worldly? I'll get into that in a bit. But God hates mixture. Look at Leviticus 19:19. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Linen is cloth woven from flax. Linen is man-made. Wool cannot be man-made. It's the fur of a sheep. It's God-made. And what God is saying here is that we are to allow him to clothe us with his righteousness that only he can provide.
Amen.
With wool. A covering of wool. We want to make our own thing, don't we? We want to make the linen. We want to do good works. We want to mix it up. Grace and works. And there's no mixture there allowed. Only the wool shall avail. In Deuteronomy 22:11, it states it even more clearly. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. The previous verse, it talks about the seeds. It's going to produce defiled fruit if you mix seeds together in the same soil. With regards to the two types of material, I believe God is saying we can't mix grace with works. Can't do it. Can't do it. Yes, God's saving grace upon our lives should produce good works.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, if I'm really born again and I see somebody broken down on the side of the road, I'm going to stop and I'm going to try to help them. That's good works. But it's not going to get me to heaven. That's not what gets me to heaven. I can give you $1,000. If you're having trouble paying your bills. But that's not what's going to get me to heaven. That's works. That's not grace. We can't mix grace with works. We are not saved by grace and then kept by works. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
I'm saved with grace, but works, is that going to maintain my salvation? No. No. It's God's grace. It's the wool. The linen has nothing to do with it. But the linen will be, as I was talking about before, at the judgment seat of Christ. What did you do? What did you do with my grace? What did you do with my salvation? Did you help somebody? Did you reach out to somebody? Did you preach the gospel to somebody? What did you do with it? But it has nothing to do with my salvation. I am saved by grace. And that's it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise be to God. We're not saved partly by grace and partly by works. It doesn't work that way. Praise be to God. We wear linen as a means of showing the world the fruit of our salvation. You know? I speak now in kind terms. You know, there was a time when my mouth was hideous in terms of curse words and everything else. And now I go to work, and with my coworkers, they see. They go, if they're going to tell a dirty joke, they go into a corner. And if they swear, they say, "Sorry, Rich." Because they know that that's not me anymore. It might have been at one time, but it's not me anymore. We're clothed with wool in regards to our eternal relationship with Almighty God.
Amen.
And that linen, you know, for good or bad, on any given day, we know that linen can be soiled, don't we? Can be soiled, can be clean, can be ironed, can be wrinkled, can be any which way but loose. But we know that the wool, God's righteousness, is there forever. Praise be to God. We don't commingle. The worship that God has prescribed, worship me in spirit and in truth, with the worship of the world. You know, we look at that verse in 2 Corinthians 6 before that. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We can use that applicationally. You know what I mean? We can apply it in different ways. But the real interpretation of that scripture had to do with Paul saying, you have people in your midst who are worshiping me and introducing worship into your congregation that has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. It's paganistic in its way. That's what that scripture is about. And I don't care how you choose to apply it. People have applied it in many different ways to the hurt of many other people. But that's the interpretation. You are worshiping God in the wrong way. You're allowing pagan worship into your service. And God forbid we should ever allow that here. When we get to 10,000 people, as we just might, we cannot allow pagan worship into our service. It has to be of the Spirit and of truth.
Amen.
And no other way. Praise be to God. You know, we're not called as a church, which is the body of Christ, to be culturally relevant.
That's right.
I didn't pronounce it very well. Culturally relevant. You know, that whole purpose-driven nonsense, you know? Seeker-friendly. See what the people want and they need, and then provide it to them. No, it's not what we're called to do. What are we called to do? To provide people with, whether they are the worst sinner on the planet or they're just a nice person who wanders in the door, what do they need?
Jesus.
They need the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what they need. They need to hear the truth of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I pulled this from a website of this woman whose name I forget. But she's talking about these churches that feel the need to be relevant to people. And she gives a 12-step plan to achieve relevance. A relevant church must be all-inclusive, non-judgmental, and tolerant. A relevant church needs to change the atmosphere, provide coffee and donuts to people. Give the church the look and feel of an auditorium. They don't want anything that looks like a church. God forbid you should have crosses on your walls. They want consumer seeker friendly churches in a plain brown wrapper. Install a really great sound system and a humongous power thing, you know, where the words can reverberate off the walls and people can feel the music. Have a worship team and a live band on stage during worship. It has to be loud. People have to sense the music flowing through them. Play contemporary music. Do you know, I can't listen to contemporary music, Christian music. It sounds exactly the same as Britney Spears or anyone else out there. And you can't even understand the words. What good is a Christian song if you can't understand the words? That's what it's all about. The Word of God. Casual clothing is a must for the clergy. Preferably a Hawaiian shirt, flip-flops, shorts, you know. When we go to church down in the Outer Banks, the guy preaches a good message, but he's got all this stuff, you know. That same casual dress. He's got the big sound system. He's got the screens going with the words and everything else and pictures flashing on the wall. And you say, am I going to the right church down here? I don't know. Design the sermon message to please everyone. You don't talk about hell, about Satan, about death, about judgment. No, these do not apply. God's wrath? Forget about it. God is love. God is love. You can't talk about his wrath. You can't talk about his judgment. Keep your message to a minimum, because people get turned off if it goes on too long. And wow them to keep them. Just wow them to keep them. You know, Jesus said that he came to bring not peace, but a sword. But division. To divide between those who would follow after me and those who would reject me. I'm going to divide your family. I'm going to divide you if you're married and one of you accepts me and the other doesn't. I'm going to divide you. I came to bring a sword, not peace, not seeker-friendly nonsense. I came to bring the truth, and if you want to follow me, you better be able to give up everything.
Amen.
And be my disciple. 1 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are we called to be people pleasers as Christians? I don't think so. Paul was of the same spirit as the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts or tests our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is a witness. We don't speak flattering words to people if we want to win them to Christ. That's not what they need. People don't need to hear, you know, you're basically a good person. If you would just become a Christian, you know, you'd have it all. No. That's not what they need. You have fallen short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. You know, I was looking at... I read the record online. I was looking at the obits to see if there was one for Elizabeth yet. And you know, God said in the very beginning, the soul that sinneth shall surely die.
Yes.
And you can read the obituary column every single day and say, you know, well, how do I know the Word of God is truth? Look at the obituary column. He said the soul that sins will surely die. Look at that obituary column. One day your name is going to be in there because you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You want a proof for God? There's none better than the obituary column. The soul that sins will die. Have you ever sinned in thought, word, or deed? Ever sworn at somebody? Ever had a lustful thought or anything else? Then you have sinned. And guess what? You're going to die. Just like that person in that obituary column sinned and died. The Word of God can't be broken. Can't be broken. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And there you can read it every single day. You know, our culture is one that worships mammon. You know what mammon is? Money, in essence, but it also, in a broader sense, speaks of sensuality. Anything that's sensual. Anything that appeals to our senses.
Yes.
You know, Larry Flint, you know him of Hustler magazine fame, just came out with a book that he's pushing. It's called One Nation Under Sex. Doesn't that say it all? One Nation Under Sex. Says it all. God doesn't want his church embracing the culture in which we are immersed. Any more than he wanted the Israelites to embrace the practices of the Canaanites. We are no different. We live in a culture that is just as depraved as the Canaanite culture. Just as depraved. So what does that mean for us in terms of keeping ourselves separate? Keeping the precious from the vile. Yes, I watch movies. But Lucille and I have walked out of a movie theater or turned off a DVD when we saw the way that it was going. You know, we took our kids. We didn't know anything about Pokemon. We took our grandkids to a movie down there. We thought we were going to watch an animated, you know, fun. And when we saw the way it was going, we said, kids, we got to get out of here. And took them out and then sat them down and explained why we had to leave. You know, I wear contemporary suits and ties. In fact, this is a, I think this is a Jerry Garcia tie. You know, it's nice, right? Yeah. But most of my stuff is bought off the rack at Sears, you know. I'm not like Paul Crouch. I don't buy $2,000 suits and Rolex watches. Yes, I keep up with current events. But I'm not absorbed with the comings and goings of Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. Yes, I have to be in the culture in which I live, but I don't have to make it a part of me. And I don't have to take it into my heart or into my mind. Yeah, my head is full. Having been a newsman for 18 years, my head is full of useless information. I admit it. There's a lot of useless information in there. You know, Lucille turned to me, she says, how do you know that? I said, I know stuff. You know, I've absorbed it over the years. What can I tell you? Do we have to live as the Amish? I don't think so. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I don't see liberty in that Amish community. I see bondage. We're not under the law, as the Jews were and still are, at least the observant ones. I told you when I went to Woodburn, you know, they come up every summer and open those bookstores, and they have a scribe there on call every day. And I went to the woman. I was buying some little book that interested me. And I said, how do you live with all these laws? There are 613 laws and rules in the Old Testament. And she said, I can't keep them all. I try, but I can't keep them all. And I turned to her and I said, I'm a Christian, and I have two laws. To love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. And even those two are hard enough to keep. How do you keep 613 laws? She said, I can't do it. She admitted it. Praise be to God. You know, if we're faithful in our prayer and worship of the Lord, grounded in truth and sound doctrine, then we have nothing to worry about when our time comes. Amen? You can have a great man of God like David Wilkerson, and I agree he was a great man of God. He was not promised tomorrow. Neither was a great woman of God like Elizabeth Cox promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. God is no respecter of persons. The bottom line is that we're not to wrap our arms around our culture or let our culture wrap its arms around us. We are to be separate. Come out from among them and be separate, and I will be your God, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Praise be to God. Almost done.
Praise God.
You know, I think a lot of where people go afoul of the truth is out of the very curiosity that God put upon our hearts. You know? I was curious when I was young. And I went into, you know, Paramahansa Yogananda. I was into him. He was a guru, a yogi who lived out in California. I read his book. And this other guy who claimed that he didn't need to eat or drink. He lived on sunlight. He lived completely on sunlight. Oh, wow, I wish I could do that, you know. How does he do it? And I read his book. Well, those two guys are dead. Deader than a doornail today. But, you know, a lack of discernment and curiosity, you know. I'm going to skip over a bunch of stuff here and just get down to this very bottom here. You know, I believe that people get stuck on smoke in the wind. You know, a puff of this, a puff of that. Wow, that sounds cool.
Yes.
You know, I want to look into that.
Right.
And it's the wrong thing to look into, and it doesn't mean anything in the whole scheme of things. You know, I was, when I go to the, I'll close with this. I go to the Lumberland Nutrition site on Wednesdays. And they have there an American flag, and behind it they have a plaque signed by Benjamin Gilman. Remember Ben Gilman?
No.
Congressman from here. Real, real nice guy. Dealt with Ben when I was in the news business many times. And it authenticates the fact that that flag flew over the U.S. Capitol, you know, and signed by Congressman Ben Gilman. And then I did a story as a reporter where I found out that there are people who are hired to hoist that flag up, let it sit there for 2 seconds, bring it back down, fold it up, and let the guy, you know, say, yes, this flew over the U.S. Capitol. Back and forth. 8 hours a day. That's their job. Just hoisting flags up and down, folding them up, and then authenticating that they did indeed fly over the U.S. Capitol. And when I thought of that, when I was reminded of that, I thought of the people who get hung up on fleeting things that are meaningless, you know, that have nothing to do with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, oh, wow, that flew up. Oh, yeah, that had something. Oh, yeah. No, forget it. Get nailed and rooted into the truth of Jesus Christ. And don't let that stuff pull you away from it. It's a fad. There are fads out there. That's a fad, you know? Do I want a flag like that flying out here? No. It's phony. It's phony.
Phony baloney.
Phony baloney. Yeah. There are fads out there that people get hooked into, and God says, hold fast your profession of faith in the truth of Jesus Christ, and be not drawn away. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Give you all power and glory and honor now and forevermore, Father. And as we go into receiving communion, Lord, I just pray that each of us would, in our hearts, get down on our knees and just repent before you, Lord. Father, for the things that we have done, thought, and spoken that do not reflect your glory and truth, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that as we confess our sins, you're not only faithful to forgive them, but you're just. You can justify that forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray, Lord, that there be a sincere repentance upon each of our hearts, Lord. Father, that it not just be a bridge to the next communion service, Lord, but Father, that it be a genuine cleansing of our hearts and our minds before you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I want to read the scripture I shared with Jack in his Bible study this morning from Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. I'm going to ask Walt and Sue to come up and share the elements with us. This is a foretaste of the new covenant that would come. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 25. Let me start with 24 because it speaks of what I was talking about before, coming out from among them. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Praise be to God. Only God can do that.
Amen.
Only with that covering of wool. We can't do it with man-made linen. Only with the wool. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you. Walt, Sue. Ruth, please. Praise be to God. The altar will be open for prayer.
You know, when I said the words, the power of his resurrection, I felt such a jump in my spirit. That God wants us to experience that. And if we're willing to suffer with it. How do we suffer? You know, we're not starving to death. We're not like the people in North Korea or the underground church in China or whatever. You know, we suffer just by sharing the gospel and then having people reject us. Oh my God, isn't that a shame that we should be rejected? That you didn't receive the gospel and know Jesus as I want you to know him. How much suffering do we really encounter in this nation? And yet Jesus says, if you suffer for my name's sake, you're going to experience the power of the resurrection. Praise be to God. So let us be with him, you know? Oh, goodness. You mean you don't accept Jesus as Lord? No, I'm a Muslim. No, an atheist. No, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing. You know, I've heard that, and I just don't buy it, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, goodness. How that hurts. Jesus says, you have no idea what hurt is like. Praise be to God. But, even still, I'll show you the power of my resurrection. If you're willing to endure it, praise be to God.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh Lord, you are so good, and your mercy endureth forever. And you haven't left us in a world of sin with no hope, But you have redeemed us and lifted us up out of the miry clay.
Hallelujah.
You are so good in your mercy forever. You loved us with an everlasting love. You set your seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, that you promised us way back in our father Abraham. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. And all that we are required to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And all that we need to do is come follow you to live in that abundant life that you promised us. And to love unrighteousness and hate unrighteousness and love righteousness. To be called out and be separate. And Lord, I believe that we're willing to sell all that we have to acquire the pearl of great price. And that involves salvation, which we have. We heard what Pastor said, and we agree. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you have lifted us and brought us into a place where we can experience kingdom living, when we come to be with you, but also kingdom living to some degree while we're here. You came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I pray, Father, that we would be worthy servants of you, willing to sell all that we have for the pearl of great price, to come out and be separate, not dabble in the things that we used to live in. Not even dabble in those things, but be drawn ever closer to your ways and come follow you. Oh, we thank you, Father, for the seal of the Holy Spirit that you've put on our hearts, and that you have filled us with dunamis, that we might accomplish all those things that you desire for each one of us. And none of us have the same things to do, but you have called us to a work. And I pray, Father, if we don't know what that work is, that we would ask and receive. And if we do not know what that work is, that we need to be about our Father's business. Oh, the world is coming to an end, and we know you're coming back soon, Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would give us opportunity to share the good news by your Spirit, and not by force, but by your Spirit, for we desire to be led by your Spirit. Not knowing where you came from or where you're going to, but we are following you right here, right now. And we thank you, Father. You are good, and your mercy endureth forever. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And God was singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And God was singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
God good, or is he not?
All the time. All the time.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh.
God answers your communion when you need prayer.
Just keep going back.
No, right?
Lord, forgive us what you say.
I gotta tell you.
Keep going back.
Came out of my house to take the church back. So I started talking to the Lord, you know, like I always do, you know. Mm-hmm. God, like, my house is going, I don't care, you want to take pictures inside? Oh, I don't care, man, I got Jesus. Mm-hmm. He starts talking about the Lord. A guy come over and praise the Lord. I said, Lord, you sent me everybody, right? So he gets talking to me. He says, I don't care, what happened to Jesus? May 31st, the Lord's coming back.
Harold camping nonsense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, so listen, I told you guys. Listen, man, we're talking.
Yeah, I heard a guy on the radio saying the same thing.
I said, I'm hoping you're right, but do you believe in Jesus? Jesus says no man knows the day, the hour, the time, or nothing. You know, so that, I give it to that. So I said, I'm already praying that this, all this stuff goes. You gave me my answer, Lord. On the way to Jackson, I got a flat tire and it was pouring rain.
I said, no, that's not a
So I drove the car back with my flat tire. I said, Lord, I'm standing on your face. I'm taking my car that has no gas, a gas hole in the gas tank, no wall tires, and I made it. Keep that. And when you said you rebuked it, I'm rebuking it.
Amen.
I stood on it. Man. I can't wait till it's over to tell you. I rebuked it, and the Lord answered my prayer. It was fantastic. And then everything has gone smooth since.
Chevy yesterday in the pickup truck.
Yeah, man.
Just I told you. Put my hands in the engine.
Amen.
It's when
the Lord works in your life. I mean, he was telling me these crazy things that are obstacles in my way. This guy thought the world's going to end. I'm not going to, but he want to tell you this. Bunnies are going to come to your house and they're going to laugh at you saying that you're going to disappear because you're telling everybody you're going to disappear on the first. And when you don't, you're going to have a lot of thinking to do.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm like, but you know,
that's
I'll be praying for
him. He did 1994.
Yeah, yes, he told Jesus. His family radio.
Anybody listens.
He's a flick. He's been saved for 30 years, this guy says, right? And I'm like, listen, you got to go by what the Lord says.
That's right. But no man knows it there.
So I invite him to come to church. He can come to church. Church of the Rock, come on down. I'll be there Sunday. So you're welcome. Thanks for coming. He didn't show.
Yep.
We took that. Because I think once he heard the truth, he was. Come back. You're reminding me of Craig. You know,
he really. And you're in the healing business. The guy has this guy that you're going to crush his camera or something. As soon as he said, he asked him, you know, where did you come from? Your perfect will. So I heard it on Saturday. Harold Camp.
Because I mentioned the Jack and Jack. I said, I'm here. I'm here because I'm hungry. I don't know. I never listened to him. I don't know anything about him. Thank God. I don't know anything about him. But I would never listen to him because I read the book. And he started talking about this. Then he started talking about 22. And you know, we're never going to make it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brother, you need to come to church.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a real sound church.
Yes, my
have a good day, brother.
Like your tie there.
Thank you. This is the. This is the Beatles.
The Lord Scarsino.
Yes, the Beatles. I'm wearing kind of rebellious this week too. I didn't wear white. I was Orthodox long enough. I'm tired of black and white.
Yes.
You look good in it.
Taking a little matches.
I don't care. I got the Lord.
I don't care about that stuff.
The Lord show me that I will. I have not entered into the separation of God, worshiping Him. Prayer, where there's a law. Forget the word law. But stuck in the way.
Yes. Amen.
So the rabbi didn't say that I had.